College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski. We want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by our good friends at Upstart.
Upstart has revolutionized how we borrow money by going beyond the traditional FICO score to offer personal loans, taking into account factors like job experience and education when determining your interest rate. Checking your Upstart rate is free, and it has no effect on your credit score. Your Upstart rate checks just 2 minutes, and if you are approved, you can get your funds as soon as the next business day. They make it quick and easy for you. The path to financial freedom can look awfully bleak when you have high interest debt, and if your FICO score isn't great, it can make breaking out of that revolving debt cycle harder than it needs to be. Thankfully, our sponsor, Upstart, is revolutionizing the process of personal lending. Hurry to upstart.com/hoops to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/hoops.
An unbelievable weekend in college basketball, an unbelievable all-around display of competition, and we start with a team that to me was the most intriguing coming into the weekend, and that was Kentucky, because if you've heard this podcast and if you followed me on different mediums, you know that I was waiting and biting at the bit to find out what Kentucky would do in its first game against legitimate high major competition since losing to Duke in the Champions Classic. And it's not so much that Seton Hall beat Kentucky in overtime at Madison Square Garden. It's the fact that the Pirates throughout the game were competitive, that the Pirates executed. And I thought this is one thing that really needs to be pointed out. There was a lot of people prior to the season who felt that Kentucky was going to come in as the team to beat in college basketball this year. I was not one of them, and I still think that Kentucky can be a very good team, but I saw a team that lost Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Kevin Knox and Wenyen Gabriel from a Sweet 16 team, and a Sweet 16 team that, let's face it, was able to capitalize on the fact that Buffalo beat Arizona in the round of 64. They lost those three players, and all of a sudden, I think everybody assumed, because they added a good recruiting class and they added Reed Travis, the grad transfer from Stanford, that all of a sudden Kentucky was going to be a vintage Kentucky team. I did not see that. I felt all along that Tennessee and Auburn should have been rated ahead of Kentucky to start the year, and that is exactly what we've seen in terms of level of play. And I think the one thing you need to look at when you're evaluating this team and you're looking at the situation surrounding Kentucky, I see a team right now that does not have the one thing that has always resonated with John Calipari's elite teams at Memphis and Kentucky, and that is a dominant lead guard. At Memphis, there was Derrick Rose and Tyreke Evans. At Kentucky, there's been John Wall. There's been Brandon Knight. There's been De'Aaron Fox. And with all due respect to the lead guards on Kentucky right now, none of those players that are filling that spot, whether it's Quade Green, Emmanuel Quickley, and Ashton Hagans, are going to be, at least with the way they're playing right now, mentioned in that category. And you start to ask yourself this: how many advantages is Kentucky going to have at the lead guard spot when it plays in the SEC? Right now, Auburn's combination of Jared Harper and Bryce Brown looks like the best backcourt in the conference. Tennessee is seasoned in the backcourt. LSU has Tremont Waters. Mississippi State has Lamar Peters and the Weatherspoon brothers. The list goes on and on. So I think when you look at Kentucky, you're still trying to find out answers. It's a team that I think will bounce back and beat a average Utah team coming up this Saturday at Rupp Arena. And then you have two games where you can find out more about the Wildcats before SEC play. December 22nd in the CBS Sports Classic against North Carolina. And then, obviously, the big game in that state every year when they go to Louisville and take on Chris Mack and the Cardinals, who have been very impressive, in my opinion, out of the gate, even though they lost Saturday to Indiana. But to me, what did we learn from Kentucky against Seton Hall? They are not even in the same stratosphere as Tennessee and Auburn right now. It could be different in February. Could be different in March. Right now, they don't even look like they're in the same stratosphere. And I mentioned Tennessee. The game against Gonzaga on Sunday in Phoenix was as good of a game as we've seen so far this season. Tennessee, to me, goes on an 8-5 run in the last 2.5 minutes without Grant Williams, the SEC Player of the Year. To me, that was the story of the game. This team is more than one man, and now all of a sudden, you have to think about the big picture. Rick Barnes, after 17 years at Texas in 2015, was asked not to return. And now 3.5 years later, he has a team built with 3-star recruits for the most part that looks like it's as good as anybody playing in college basketball. Admiral Schofield continues to emerge as one of the best wings in the country, made big shot after big shot down the stretch. And this is a player who was not heavily recruited but has gotten a little bit better each season. And as we're talking about what happened in Phoenix on Sunday, we have to talk about Nevada's close win over Grand Canyon. Nevada now 10-0, and you look at the rest of the non-conference schedule for the Wolfpack. They have Akron and South Dakota State at home, and then they travel to Utah on Saturday, December 29th. This, to me, is a team that right now has to start being looked at as a team that's capable of doing what Wichita State did in the 13-14 season, and a team that can enter the NCAA tournament undefeated. And look, I know that some of the teams that Nevada scheduled have not panned out. USC has not been as good as people hoped. Loyola Chicago has not been as good as people hoped. But right now, when you look at what's left on Nevada's schedule, and you look at the state of the Mountain West, a conference that has really got nothing early out of its brand name programs like San Diego State, New Mexico, and UNLV, I think there's a legitimate chance that Nevada enters the NCAA tournament in 2019 undefeated, and that becomes something to track. And since we're right now looking at West Coast basketball, you automatically think about the Pac-12. And I got to tell you, we've got about 2 weeks left of non-conference play in college basketball. And this is obviously a very quiet week because of finals week. But right now, the Pac-12 is on somewhat life support when you talk about trying to get marquee wins. Arizona State beat Mississippi State. But other than that, who in this league is moving the needle? Arizona won at UConn. But other than that, who in this league is moving the needle? UCLA will play a road game at Cincinnati and play Ohio State in the CBS Sports Classic. That's pivotal. Washington has a big game coming up against Virginia Tech in Atlantic City. These are games that the conference needs if it wants to have a chance to, let's face it, have more than one or two teams in the NCAA tournament. I will say this, a team to watch in the Pac-12, and they have not had a great start, is Oregon because of the return of Lewis King. The 5-star recruit returned Saturday night against Nebraska. Omaha was in double figures. That makes Oregon a different team, but Oregon has no margin for error. Oregon has to go on a run for the rest of their non-conference schedule and then go on a run in the Pac-12 because they have not had monumental victory so far other than a neutral site win over Syracuse at Madison Square Garden. Now, one team that's going to play in Madison Square Garden coming up on December 20th against Texas Tech is Duke, and the head coach of the Blue Devils is Mike Krzyzewski, and he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Duke is 9-1 through the first 10 games of the 18-19 college basketball season, and the head coach of the Blue Devils is Mike Krzyzewski. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And, Coach, your assessment of the young Blue Devils through your first 10 games?
Yeah, really good. A great group to coach. Young, talented. They listen. They have good chemistry, great chemistry. They like one another. We bonded as a group, a lot quicker and deeper than you would expect with five freshmen and, you know, and no starters back from last year. So, you know, it's a whole new group. And they're great kids, and they're going to get a lot better if they stay healthy. And that's hopefully we do a good job of making sure that that happens.
You know, your team played an unbelievable game against Gonzaga in the Maui Invitational. It was one of the highlights of the young season, and you came up a little bit short. What was your message to your team after that defeat?
Well, more so, not just after that game, but we had just completed, that was our sixth game in 15 days, and, you know, we had played a really tough schedule, three top 10 teams, and a lot of travel. Even the game in Indianapolis to start the season, we came back at 4 in the morning, and then you go to Maui, and I just told them, I said, we just completed a season. You know, here's what we, you know, here's what we think. And, you know, we have to be, in order to beat a team like Gonzaga, you have to be extremely prepared. And we were not in a short period of time, and you're not at your best. And they were terrific. And so preparation, what have we learned from this? We need our defensive habits kept getting worse because they're not there yet. And so when you don't practice as much during that 15-day period, your performance goes down. Not your attitude, but your performance. So since then, you know, they've listened to all that. They believe it. We've worked really hard on defense. Javon Delorier has really stepped up. Alex O'Connell has stepped up. So we've improved after doing a realistic assessment of a 15-day period, not just one game.
You know, you had mentioned that you had no starters back from last year's team. This isn't obviously the first time you've had a freshman-dominated team. You won a national championship in 2015 with a talented crop of freshmen, but that team had veterans back and Quinn Cook and Matt Jones and Emile Jefferson. And even last year, you had a player back in Grayson Allen that was considered to be one of the favorites for National Player of the Year. Does this freshman class have to undertake more responsibility than the other teams in the last couple of years that have been so talented and had a chance to advance deep in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, absolutely, and they're prepared to do that. Just, you know, it's really a unique situation, although people obviously can see that we put a lot of guys in the pros early. Usually there's a veteran or veteran group, you know, Emile Jefferson, Matt Jones, Quinn Cook, or, you know, Marshall Plumlee, or, you know, Grayson. There was nobody. You know, nobody. And so in some respects, that might be better if the guys are prepared. And when you have, you know, Trey Jones, RJ, Zion, Cam, you know, they're beyond their years, really. And they're over themselves, is what I'm saying. It's all about being on a great team. If we can develop into a great team, it's all about winning. And that's basically what you want an upperclassman to be able to say and show, and also a work ethic. And look, nobody works harder than Trey Jones. Nobody. I mean, that kid is, and our whole freshman class work hard. And so they get along, they become friends with the upper class. It's been really a beautiful thing to watch. And you can tell I really like my team. I hope we can continue to develop, and we know that we have to get a lot better, but we are good. We're very good, and we have the potential and the desire to get better. And that, you know, what more can you ask for a coach to have that? And so I'm excited about my group. And we're in exams right now, and last week was a tough academic week, too. So hopefully we do. I think we're doing well there. And then we have Princeton and Texas Tech before we take a Christmas break.
Well, you know, Coach, you touched on Javon Delorier is, you know, obviously stepping up and Alex O'Connell stepping up. When you look at your veterans, not just for the short term, but for the long term, what specifically do you think you need out of them as ancillary pieces to the puzzle for this team to get where it hopes to go?
Yeah, high self-esteem about what they can do well. And that's basically what most players should, you would want with most players. You know, but feel good about the things that you do well and do them as well as you possibly can. Don't try to be Zion. You're not going to be Zion. You know, there's no guard on our team that can be Trey, you know, and play on the ball defense. And there's nobody like RJ on our team. So don't worry about that. Blend and celebrate, you know, the things you do well. The kid that's done that to the highest level right now is Jack White. You know, Jack has played sensational basketball. And he doesn't have to touch the ball much, but he, you know, against Yale on Saturday, you know, he had 9 points and 12 rebounds. He guarded Oney, the Ivy League, you know, preseason player of the year. He did a good job on him when he was on him. And Javon understood that really well up in Canada and then was hurt for about 3 weeks and could almost a month and couldn't play in September. And he kind of lost, I don't know, I'm not sure, confidence, probably a little bit, in his body, you know, and he played like he did at times last year. And since Maui, he's playing like he did in Canada. And he, you know, he adds another dimension to us because we can switch 1 through 5 with him, and 6'9", and he protects the rim, runs, you know, and his, he and Jack White are our co-captains. So, and then O'Connell, that he can really shoot, but he's a very good athlete, John. He, and against Yale, he had his first 2 contesting steals, you know, denial at the wing, and we believe he can be a really good defender and come in and hit buckets, but not just come in and hit buckets or attempt to, but if he can play defense like he did on Saturday, then we have, you know, we found another piece.
Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Blue Devils 9-1 so far this season. I remember doing an interview with you probably about 10 years ago, and you were telling me about how one of the things that's hardest for you was when people ask if you could pick one player that stood out during this legendary career. So I'm not even going to go there, but I am going to ask you this. How is Zion Williamson different than anybody else you've had at Duke?
Well, he's different. You know, I can't even compare him to anybody I've seen in basketball. That doesn't mean he's the best player ever, but he's going to be one of the really good players ever. And you don't have 6'6 to 6'7, 270 to 75 pounds, but who is an incredible athlete. Not, you hear that. When I say incredible, I mean incredible, because 45-inch vertical, the ability to jump quickly, and he has guard skills. You know, he's a point guard until he was about an 8th grade or 9th grade. And so he can handle the ball, and he's a great kid. I mean, not a good kid. He's great. Works like crazy. But his ability, lateral movement, quickness, off the charts, just off the charts, and a great teammate. You know, other than that, he's a really bad kid to coach.
You know, and it's interesting because you look at the dynamic with him and Barrett. You know, obviously, you know, on the floor at the same time, it's unlike anything we've seen in a long time or ever in college basketball. And coach, Barrett has become, since you got back from Maui, a much more efficient player, and he's affecting the game in more ways. What changes have you noticed in RJ Barrett since you got back from Maui?
Well, just the very first thing is RJ is a winner. He doesn't care, you know, where the points come from. He wants to win. I mean, he has a maturity way, way beyond his years. And he can. There's not an aspect of the game that he can't do well. And I think in a shortened, condensed 6-game, 15-day schedule, you know, his desire to win was there. We still don't know each other that well. And so since then, he's rebounded He's passed. He's played defense. He had Oney for a while too on Saturday, and Langford from Indiana, and actually I talked to him the day before on Friday before he played Yale, and I brought him off to the side and I said, "You're playing terrific basketball since you've improved. You're a lot of people would accept you just as you are and be happy. What we've tried to do and what you're doing is trying to get better. I just want you to know that it's working. And we think you can still get better." So really, John, every aspect of his game has picked up. Every aspect.
Well, and we're talking about obviously the great players you've had on this team so far, and you've had so many great ones. But, you know, Coach, you've had a number of your pupils move on and do great things in coaching as well. And it's not just having success. They've done historic things. You know, Tommy Amaker's become the all-time winningest coach at Harvard. Chris Collins was the first head coach at Northwestern to take that team to the NCAA tournament. And we could go on and on. How does the joy of seeing some of your former players and assistants have success compare to the joy that you feel when you lead Duke to a national championship or our country to a gold medal?
Yeah, well, it's family, and you know, those guys not only played for me; we were on the same staffs together. You know, they helped make our program what it is today and what it has been, not just as players but as coaches. And then, you know, a number of the kids that have played for me, you know, we consider them, you know, part of our family, but when you're on our staff, you really are. You know, we know your wife, we know your kids. They become, it's like you're a family member. I wouldn't call them necessarily a son, but kind of. And so, you know, when Wojo, you know, wins a big game against Wisconsin on Saturday, you know, before I ever talked to the team after we beat Yale, I checked the score just to see, and I saw they won in overtime, and I pulled Chris Carwell off to the side before talking to our team. I said, "We won. Yeah, we won." And when Chris came back and beat DePaul, and he was down by so much, and, you know, the stuff that Tommy has done, not just to change Harvard, John, but really, if you look at the Ivy League and the talent level that's in the Ivy League now, especially from African-American players, basically Tommy has helped socially change, something in the Ivy League that was not there before. And, Johnny Dawkins, Quinn Snyder with the Utah Jazz, we share in their accomplishments and we talk a good amount, or text, or whatever during the season, because I always know what they're doing and following them very closely.
Well, Coach, you got two more games, you know, obviously one against Princeton and one against Texas Tech at MSG, which you always do every year, a game in the Garden before the ACC. But, you know, I'm curious, you've been in the ACC your entire coaching life, and the league changed about 5 years ago. It added, obviously, some great programs. And last year, we saw two teams in the ACC, Syracuse and Florida State, advance the second weekend of the NCAA tournament and have 500 or worse records in the league. Because of the landscape of this conference right now, do you think it's easier for certain programs, because the league is so difficult, to advance in the NCAA tournament than it is to maybe finish 500 or better in the conference?
Well, nothing is easy in the NCAA tournament, and nothing's easy in the conference. But what I will tell you is I think the conference prepares you for the NCAA tournament. And there's nothing easy, and we have not teams, we have programs in our conference. And when a conference is dominated by programs, not everybody has a program yet, but we have as many as any conference, and that means you have tradition, you have, you know, your way around the block. And by playing that level of schedule, if you're healthy going into the NCAA tournament, then you're not afraid of playing anybody. I mean, you've played against every type of defense, every offense. How do people characterize our league? As a fast break, as a slowdown, as a zone, as a man-to-man? You name it, we have all of it. And, you know, we have all of it. You know, you can't say the ACC is this type of basketball. What it is, it's all types of basketball. And that makes you better, John. Those two teams advancing does not surprise me. Heck, Syracuse almost beat us, or else they would have gone to the Elite Eight. And so I see the same thing happening this year because of all the top-notch programs we have. And look, other leagues have a lot, too, and they have great coaches. We can match with any league with programs and coaches. And the fact that we don't play each other twice, you know, you don't have a true champion regular season, but at the end of the day, it's not what you do during the regular season. It's what you do in March, and at least that's the way we feel about it.
Yeah. Final thing for me, Coach. You've always told me that through the years you found that people want to talk about what Duke has done, and you always want to talk about what Duke is doing.
Right.
For you right now, what has to happen over the next few months for you to be in a position to obviously accomplish what you hope to accomplish, and that's win a national championship?
Yeah, well, I think one is we all are on the same page. My guys don't talk about winning the program's sixth national championship. We say, who are we going to be? Let's have fun in what we're going to do. For me, John, the primary thing is health. If you look over the years, not just in our program, but in many programs, sometimes one or two of the best teams you might have got hurt and never were able to achieve their potential. And so health, to continue to develop the chemistry. We want to become, and we're becoming, a really good defensive team. And we want to take that to another level. And if we stay healthy and keep improving on defense, then we'll have a chance. We'll have a chance. And that's my goal. And it's been fun teaching these kids defense. They wanna play it, and our team is playing hard. And just keep playing hard together. Play D, share the ball, and stay healthy. And good things will happen.
Well, Coach, appreciate a couple minutes. Appreciate you squeezing us in. Look forward to seeing you and Duke next week at Madison Square Garden, and happy holidays.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoyed being on.
We'd like to thank Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And a reminder, today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being brought to you by Geico. Did you know there is a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com. And we want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think the product will bring to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John. J-O-N. And our first question comes from America's First. And John, do you think Ohio State is a tournament team that is going to be easy to beat at home because Syracuse didn't? My answer is no. I don't think they're going to be easy to beat at home. I thought Syracuse was due for a big win. Syracuse obviously is a different team with Frank Howard, 5-0 with him, 2-2 without him. Ohio State, to me, one of the surprises again of the college basketball season under Chris Holtmann in his second year. And our next question comes from LF's Fun Emporium, and it's John. What is Louisville's ceiling, and do you think Jordan Nwora is an all-SEC player? I think Louisville is an NCAA tournament team this year, and I think Jordan Nwora is becoming, at Louisville for Chris Mack, what Trayvon Blewett was at Xavier. Very similar in their games. Jordan Nwora, again, one of the emerging players in the ACC. And our next question comes from Cincinnati Sports Heartbreak, and it's John. What is the Cincinnati's Bearcats ceiling in terms of this season? Look, I think Cincinnati looks like, again, to be an NCAA tournament team. They've won 9 straight games. I'm very curious to see how Cincinnati performs this week on the road at Mississippi State. That is a game that could have a major impact on what type of seed that the Bearcats get in the NCAA tournament. You need Quadrant 1 victories, a big opportunity for Mississippi State Saturday night in Starkville. And now that we've got you set for all your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
5 good nuggets.
5. 5.
6.
No, 5. But you were close.
Nugget number 1, getting defensive. Through 10 games, speaking of Cincinnati, the Bearcats only surrendering an average of 56.4 points per game and has held 3 of its opponents to 50 points or less. Nugget number 2, lethal Lamar. Speaking of Mississippi State, Mississippi State's Lamar Peters is a combined 16 of 24 from 3 over his last 2 games. Nugget number 3, fit for a king. Oregon freshman Lewis King, 11 in his debut. This was a 5-star recruit that didn't play early in the season, could change the Ducks. Nugget number 4, making a count. Indiana is now 3-1 this season in games decided by 2 points or less. The Hoosiers have room to grow, but they're still winning. This is a good sign in Bloomington. And nugget number 5, record breaker. Sagaba Kanate became West Virginia's all-time leading shot blocker in Saturday's win over Pitt. Bob Huggins said here on the College Hoops Today podcast last season that Kanate is the second best shot blocker he's ever coached, only second to Kenyon Martin. Now, let's get to some games to watch brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
A light week because of final exams. Tuesday, Villanova at Penn. Colorado at New Mexico. Wednesday, UMass travels to Temple. LSU at Houston. The Cougars still undefeated. And San Diego at Oregon. We'd like to thank Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.